You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, I think crystal ball gazing at a time like this and trying to discern what is going to happen from one day to the next is a fool's errand, let alone months or even years out. But that's exactly what the South African Private Equity and Venture Capital Association invited futurist Marius Oosthuizen to try and do recently, to try and help its members, general partners who have invested in the companies at a time that has become all of a sudden very fluid. I'm sure all of those strategies have had to be ripped up and they're sitting on boards now saying, what do we do next, chaps? Well, it's a great pleasure to be joined now by Marius Oosthuizen, a professional futurist, and Milani Dineshan, a program manager, fund manager development at Savka, to talk a little bit more about how GPs are managing their investee companies and helping them through this. And Marius, from you personally, to find out how you try and predict the future outcome here. So welcome. Kick us off, as I said, a fool's errand, but I'm sure one can at least model some future scenarios. Talk to me about South Africa's vulnerability from an economic perspective and the factors that are going to contribute to GDP contraction.
Well, good evening, Matthew, and good evening, Milani. It's great to talk to you and to your listeners. You know, when we look at the future, of course, we accept that we cannot predict the future. It's way too uncertain. There are too many variables. And so what we do instead is we think about the key uncertainties that we have to grapple with. And in this particular case, we felt that the two really key uncertainties were, number one, what is the size and scale of South Africa's pandemic, so the spread of the virus in South Africa? And then secondly, what is the size and scale of the response to that pandemic? How effective do we, as a South African society, prevent the spread of that virus? Now, to the extent that we do that, the impact, the secondary impact on the economy can be quite small, and we've called that sort of a storm in a teacup scenario. But to the extent that we fail to prevent the spread of the virus, we might see a very deep, very prolonged negative impact. I think the consensus view from those who've participated in our research so far have said we're looking at about a minus 5% in GDP.
Yeah, that is certainly the consensus that I got from Annabel Bishop and Davi Root on a panel recently. Now, when we look at modelling the sorts of impact on the broader economy and the socioeconomic impacts, we saw with the Spanish flu in 1918, it has been likened to the Spanish flu. It hit in three waves over sort of an 18-month period. What sort of impact is it likely to have here in South Africa?
Well, you know, again, it's absolutely contingent on the extent and the scale of the health impact. But I think we do have to accept that in the very short term, our health system is going to bear the brunt of that health impact, having to deal with mild, more severe cases. And then, of course, that sort of between 2% and 4% of those who face mortality. But beyond that, what we do see is major uncertainty in the economy. As the economy shuts down with the national shutdown, we see markets are reacting to that. We see financial markets being very risk-off in their posture. And that, of course, takes liquidity out of the economy in general. So that liquidity crunch, coupled with a downturn in the demand side of the economy, really leads to a stall, or what the economists are calling a sharp stop in the economy. And it's uncertain how long it will take and what it will take to get that economy going again. So you're really into uncharted territory.
So that is where scenario planning comes in, where you don't know exactly which of any number of potential futures play out. And the typical scenario plan has a quadrant with an X and a Y axis, and you go from the top left to the sort of bottom right as potential scenarios. What are the sorts of potential scenarios that South Africa faces?
So we, you know, in our analysis, we coined the four scenario terms. The first one was a storm in a teacup. With small-scale impact, small-scale negative consequences. We feel that we've moved past that at the moment, you know, heading between 700 and 1,000 cases leading to a national shutdown gets us into what we call a perfect storm scenario. You know, there is real concern that those who are infected or have had secondary infections through community transmission will take the virus now into communities, into rural areas, into townships where there's high-density populations. So that perfect storm scenario is still a likelihood. What I'm hoping for as a South African, of course, is that we move to the third quadrant, which is the after-the-storm scenario, where we recognize and identify where the disease burden is, we deal with it, we isolate those people, and we move very quickly into a post-pandemic environment for recovery. And then I'll say there's a fourth scenario, which seems remote and unlikely, but there is the possibility of what we've called an Africa-spared scenario. This is where, for medical reasons or climatic, ecological reasons, the virus really doesn't have traction in Africa as it has in Europe and the U.S. and China. And if we do get into that environment, that would be wonderful. We'll have a very quick recovery. So we do have to accept that that's still, even though it's remote, it is a possibility.
So what is your probability in terms of the highest probability amongst those four scenarios?
So I think the overall consensus is that South Africa probably will have a mild case. Depending on as we head into our winter period, there is concern that we might have a second wave. I would certainly place that probability above 60% that we'd have a second wave of this pandemic in the absence of a medical solution. And then we start talking about a recovery. I think there's an 18 to 90% probability in our analysis that we have what we call a U-shaped recovery, which is that we don't bounce back in the economy. We don't see markets gaining the 30% in the next 6 months that they've lost. Rather, we see a period of a few months into the early parts of next year with a reasonably slow recovery. And then once the pandemic has been resolved, of course, we then see a very rapid uptick in the markets from there. All of that, of course, is very contingent on what happens in the U.S. pandemic and the U.S. markets because of their disproportionate impact on the rest of the global economy.
Yeah, and as we're seeing, I mean, anyone watching that press conference in New York yesterday, it is frightening, the speed and the scale with which the virus is taking hold in America, now surpassing Italy in terms of growth rate of infections. Now, Melanie, this is really where the strength of private equity as an asset class, I think, comes to the fore. We've seen a big sell-off in public markets. We haven't really seen such an issue because of the unlisted nature of private equity in the asset class. Obviously, these businesses that general partners invest in still have to navigate the same real economic scenarios and choppy seas as everyone else does. What sort of role are GPs having to play or having to consider to navigate this crisis? As I said in my introduction, I'm sure they would have invested in these companies with a particular strategy to execute over a 5 to 7 year period. I'm sure now most of that has to be ripped up.
Of course. Good evening, Michael, Marius. Thank you very much for having me this evening. Yeah, we represent over 180 members, and that's about 171 billion of assets under management. So the general partners are playing a significant role in the investee companies in which they are invested. I think one of the positives is that private equity sometimes get lashed for being a short-term or having a short-term outlook. But really, for private equity, it is about sustainability of the investee companies over the long term to ensure a solid exit in the short term. So investee companies have benefited from the attention that private equity fund managers can pay to look at matters such as cash flows, such as collaboration amongst portfolio companies, etc., in order to try and weather the storm, which is, of course, here with us for the next 3 to 4 months. We have seen our member base working really closely with the investee companies from a strategic perspective to ensure that investee companies have support both from an input perspective as well as from a thinking innovatively around how to address some of the more serious consequences of what we will be facing over the next 3 to 6 months.
Sure. Fascinating times. As an industry body, how is SAVCA supporting the general business and investment community here? I had Busi Mavuso of Business Leadership South Africa on the show yesterday talking about the three work streams that BUSA has established to focus on the economy, health and labor. We've had commitments into the Solidarity Fund. How is SAVCA playing a role?
So we are first and foremost looking out for the best interests of our members to ensure that from an environment perspective they have all the assistance they need in order to weather the storm. So we have, amongst others, updated our website with a specific website, a web page with COVID-19 resources for our industry, an industry WhatsApp broadcast group to efficiently and timely distribute information. And then we've also created a discussion board for our members to share thoughts and best practice. In addition, we've launched a weekly webinar series every Thursday evening at 4 o'clock, where we will be discussing issues of key concern to our members. We really understand the core role that small, micro, and medium enterprises play in driving this country's economy. And as such, the Debt Relief Fund, which has been set up, is reassuring for these businesses during this period. And we commend our leadership for their swift action and their strong liaison with the private sector to ensure that these initiatives could be put forward. Of course, we remain in contact with the regulators on behalf of our constituency, and we support the actions currently being put in place by our government to try and stem the spread of COVID-19.
Melanie Dinishan, Program Manager, Fund Manager Development at SAVCA. Marius Oosthuizen, South African futurist on the potential scenarios, a perfect storm for South Africa, and what the industry body is doing to help support all the efforts to keep SMEs afloat during this time of crisis.